Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Union Bank of India earnings conference call for the period ended 30th September 2021. The bank is represented by the Managing Director and CEO, Shri Rajkiran Raiji, Executive Directors, Shri Gopal Singh Gusain, Shri Manas Ranjan Biswal, Shri Nitesh Ranjan, Shri Rajneesh Karnatak, and other members of the top management. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mrs. Ranjitha Suresh, Assistant General Manager, Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Steven. Good evening, everyone. I welcome you all to the Union Bank of India earnings conference call for the period ended September 30th, 2021. The structure of the con call shall include a brief opening statement by MD and CEO, and then the floor will be open for interaction. Before getting into the con call, I'll read out the usual disclaimer statement. I would like to submit that certain statements that may be discussed during the investor interaction may be forward-looking statements based on the current expectations. These statements involve a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors that cause the actual results to differ from the statements. Investors are therefore requested to check the information independently before making any investment or other decisions. With this, I now request our MD and CEO for his opening remarks. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. It is a pleasure and privilege to meet you all for Union Bank of India financial results for the quarter and half year ended September 2021. India's economic recovery is showing strong momentum with the onset of festive season. The domestic demand is gaining strength while supply conditions are recouping fast, buoyed by the robust performance of agriculture sector and revival in manufacturing and services. The strong activity augurs well for the banking system. Recently, Moody's ratings agency has revised the outlook for the Indian banking system to stable from negative on the back of stabilizing asset quality and improved capital drive. This also affirms confidence in banking sector. Coming to the bank's business and financials for the quarter and half year ended September 30, 2021. Operating profit of the bank grew by 25.66% YoY and stood at 6,074 crore for the quarter two of the year 2022. Net interest income registered a growth of 8.52% YoY and stood at 6,829 crores. The global NIM stood at 2.95 for quarter two. The net profit stood at 1,526 crores for this quarter against a net profit of 517 crores in the corresponding quarter of previous year, thus registering a growth of 195%. In terms of business, the RAM sector noted 8.48% YoY growth, raising its share in domestic loan book to 58.51%. And within RAM sector, the retail advances have grown by 9.35%, and agriculture advances have grown by 13.06%. The liability side, the total deposits have grown by 3.15% year on year, led by low cost CASA deposits, which grew 10.77% year on year. The CASA ratio thus stood at 37.16% as of 30th September 2021, as compared to 34.61% a year ago. Of asset quality, the gross NPA ratio stood at 12.64% as of 30th September 21, compared to 14.71% of the comparable quarter last year. The net NPA stood at 4.61%, which was 8 basis points lower sequentially. On the capital front, the bank has raised 1,150 crores under Tier 2 bonds during the current quarter. The CRAR for the quarter 2 stood at 13.64%. And CET1 stood at 10.16%. Thank you. Now I welcome the questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Maru Karjania from Ilara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir. Hi.
Hello.
Just a couple of questions. Firstly, that the write-offs include only Divan, or there were some other write-offs during the quarter as well? And that's my first question.
Yeah. You wanted to know this write-off of the first quarter has any particular...
No, the second, yes.
No, this is a general process. Actually, you know, wherever we reach 100% provision, we gradually write off, but then we balance it such a way so that the credit growth is not impacted, because moment we write off, the credit growth, like the outstanding credit comes down to that extent. But this time we took a cautious decision to write off. Generally, we write off about 4,000, 5,000 crores per quarter. This time we have taken a call to write off about 10,000 crores. These are various accounts, but where the 100% provision is made.
But was DHFL written off and then subsequently recovered, or and is that part of this quarter's write-off?
DHFL was, maybe I will answer that after checking. When it is written off, I need to check actually. But then the recovery, it is recovered as a written off account only. That's why the recovery is in other income, because it was a written off account when the recovery came. I'll check and confirm to you whether it is, when it is written off.
And our exposure would be around 2,400, 2,600 crores, sir?
On Divan Housing?
Yes.
It was 3,600.
3,600, okay. Okay, sir, sorry. Sir, so, my other question is on margin. So they basically corrected because of slow loan growth, right?
You are saying the net interest margins are lower because of the low credit growth?
Yes.
This may be partially correct when you talk of retail, but then if you talk of corporate credit today, the interest rates are so low. If you are pushing for corporate credit growth, particularly at the short end, actually, I don't think the interest margins will improve. It will further come down.
Got it. So basically, from here on, we can expect margins to decline somewhat.
May not be. Now, I was talking of the present situation. Today, if I push for corporate credit growth, it comes at the corporate credit today is at very, very low rates. So that will actually squeeze the margins if you go for aggressive corporate credit growth, particularly short-term credit today. But as you go along, now we are already seeing signs of interest rate firming up at the short end of the maturity curve. If you are looking at term repos and variable repos, we are already seeing the rates firming up. And the indication from RBI also was almost similar, because gradually they are going to suck the liquidity out of the system. So the short-term interest rates which have gone very low are likely to firm up. So as we go along, the interest rates will firm up, and then the margins, actually we have given a projection that the net interest margins will be around 2.9 to 3, and we are sticking to that. I think we will not go below that, because there is another advantage. Our CASA has grown well. Composition of CASA, which was 34% last year, now it is around 37%. And the deposits what we are getting, they are coming at much lower rates. So the deposit rates don't get repriced that fast. Loans get repriced very fast, whether it is getting lower or higher.
Got it, sir. Sir, my last two questions are, firstly, on total restructuring. So you've given proper details about OTR1 and OTR2. That's very elaborate, sir. But sir, would there be any MSME restructuring over and above that? So what will be the total restructuring, including any past or current MSME restructuring?
Actually, see, we have given you the details of restructuring 1.0 and 2.0 as per the RBI guidelines. That details are already there in the presentation.
Yes.
Last time I had shared with you there was a 2019 guidelines of MSME restructuring before the COVID came. There we have a restructuring of about 2,469 crores under MSME. That's specific to MSME. We have 2,469 under that.
Got it. So my last question is on operating expenses. So has there been do we have any rough calculation of what will be the impact of new family pension norms?
Yes, actually we have taken a one-time provision of family pension of about 380 crores. This was on estimated basis because Reserve Bank has given us a permission to spread it over 5 years. So for this year, actually we estimate it to be around 380 crores. So accordingly, instead of waiting for March quarter, we have made the provision this quarter because we had the comfort this quarter because of the good recoveries and the provision write backs what we had. So we have taken 380 crores and another 115 crores we have made provision for the NPS because this new pension scheme moving from 10 to 14%, we have made a one-time provision of 115 crores. So roughly 500 crores one-time employee cost is there in these numbers.
And sir, what will be the total liability of these two, the total shortfall? Estimated, of course, it has to be firmed up, but just now, according to your current estimate?
It is 380 into 5.
Okay, 380. And this 115 is absolutely one time. It won't recur.
Actually, because up to now, what should have been paid, so that we have made one time hit, and now onwards, it will be paid monthly. And family pension, anyway, goes out of the pension fund only. So there is no expenses to our book. We have to make create a corpus and then from the corpus this pension will be paid. So this 380 crores will go to the corpus, pension fund corpus.
Perfect, sir. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhukela from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Congratulations to you and the entire team for such a splendid performance. I think a lot of private sector banks will look at this performance.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
So, sir, I have two, three questions. I hope I can take a few minutes of the
yes,
time.
Please, sir. Please.
So, sir, we calculated that you have provided roughly 1.45 lakh crore rupees. In the last 5 years, from 2015 till 2000, let's say 21 of the first half. So I wanted to understand from you that, you know, how much of this amount you think will get recovered, which has already been provided for, and in what time frame. So let's say if I take a 3 year view, 22-23, how much of this money will come back?
Difficult to give estimate, but then looking at the progress of different recovery and the OTS going on, actually in the next 3 years, at least 15 to 20% of that should come back according to our estimates. It's very difficult to predict. It depends on how we are going, because these are the accounts either written off, fully provided, and at various stages of legal resolutions. But with the NARCL coming in, some of the big accounts going there, so we should expect that 15 to 20% of that should come back. And why I will say that is, you will see many quarters like this. This quarter you had one big recovery which came back straight to the profit. Similar accounts we will see in many of the quarters going forward. These are the good times. Because already the books are cleaned, huge provisions are made. We should see this write back also happening. So, ultimately, if you take a longer time frame of five years, I say that about 30% should come back, at least 30%.
Wow. So that's the number which I was looking at, sir. So you have 1,45,000 crore, let's say even 20% comes back, that will be roughly...
Yes. So much of capital coming back.
30,000 crore capital, which is equal to a market cap.
Yeah.
So, sir, what has been your experience in the last 2-3 years of, you know, whatever you have provided for 100% return of technical write-off, how much of the typical recovery has come back in the last 3 years?
Yeah, Mr. Ashok, yeah.
Good evening, Madhu sir.
Yes, sir, how are you, sir?
See, I will just take it forward. I think MD sir has very rightly pointed out everything and he has mentioned. The total exposure which we have with NCLT itself is around 500 accounts, amounting to around 65,000 crore.
Okay, sir.
So this resolution, definitely I am expecting that by 2023-24, maximum 2 years span, definitely these resolutions are going to take place. Because generally if you take that 330 days resolution time period and some litigation also if you factor it, another 2 financial years, this entire resolutions are going to happen now. And yes, now with NARCL coming in picture now, I think we have already identified a lot of accounts. So maybe in this quarter and going forward in the last quarter of this financial year, we are expecting around 13 to 14,000 crore we will be able to shift in that NARCL.
Yes, sir.
And realization-wise also, in fact, for the last 3 years, if you see the realization, if NCLT realization, if you see, it is in the average, if I take for the last 3 years, it is in the range of around 30 to 35%. First year it was 40%, then subsequently it is coming down. But average realization, very conservative if I take, around 25 to 30% realization, definitely it is going to come. So if you take that 60,000 which is already there in the NCLT, 25% minimum also if you take, definitely a good number is going to come through that NCLT process. Other than that NCLT also, I think a lot of resolutions are happening outside outside IBC also, like sell to ARCs at the consortium level, then NARCL. So all those things put together, I see that this year definitely it is going to be a good year for our bank. Then 21, 20, 22, 23, that also will be a good rewarding year. So going forward another 2-3 years, definitely, I think whatever things are locked up, we will be in a position to unlock all those things.
Yeah, further to supplement what Ashok said, on the 60,000 crores plus which is in NCLT, our provision coverage is more than 95%. And in the first 6 months, our recovery from technical write-off is more than 2,000 crores. Just to give a color to what you mentioned. So out of almost 10,000 crores recovery, about 20% is coming from technical write-off accounts.
Okay. So, sir, this is not exactly my point. Even just Mr. Ashokan, I am sure you would agree with the sentiment in the real estate sector improving, specifically in the last 6 months. That will aid to a recovery effort and also maybe the realization itself will improve from the return of account. And that is why I wanted to understand, you know, what is the true potential of this?
Yeah, I agree with you, sir. Definitely. I think Q3 and Q4, definitely, the realizations are going to
high. Okay.
I think a specific question Mr. Madhukhela asked, when we look at this realization, most of the realization comes because of the real estate value.
That is right.
I think we are not factored the appreciation in real estate. When we say 25%, 30%, we are very conservative actually. So because the real estate is picking up, we may see much better realization also. But then it's very difficult to predict now, but then very fact that out of 7,000 crores slippage of June, 2,000 crores is recovered in the next 3 months. By September, out of 7,000, 2,000 recovered by one simple notice. Because this is mostly mortgage-backed loans. So people are quickly paying, actually. So what you say is right, actually, because the appreciation of the market, like the real estate market, will see uptick in our recovery.
Sir, if I may just give you a small suggestion from an investor perspective, if you can tell us that, you know, what will be the collateral value, maybe in the next quarter call, out of this 1,45,000 crores, which is being provided for in the last 5 years, what will be the last estimated collateral value which you have? Then I think investors will be in a better position to take their own guess that, you know, how much you will be able to recover. I am sure you may have that number. I would request at least you should discuss this number in the next quarter call.
Sure, sir.
We'll give that, sir. We'll give that.
Okay. So now coming back, you gave a guidance of 15,000 crores for the slippage in the current year. Our first half slippage itself has been 13,794 crores in the first two quarters. So is there any change in the guidance, sir? Do you expect that you will recover quite a lot which has slipped in the first two quarters?
Yeah, actually, like our guidance on the net basis will still stand, because 13,700 includes 2,600 crores of Shree. Okay. So, like, if you exclude that, the slippage is around 11,000 crores. Okay. And 11,000 crores, excluding Shree, is the gross slippage of two quarters.
That's
now,
right.
As I already mentioned, 2,000 crores of June slippage is already recovered. So, according to us, if you look at the first half slippage, it is only 9,000 crores plus Shree. So, if you are taking 9,000 crores, so our slippage for the next half year, we don't expect that it will be more than 5,000, because looking at the way it is shaping up, because even this quarter, if you exclude Shree, our slippage was hardly 4,000 crores. So it is still moderating. Our collection efficiencies have reached almost 96% levels. So we don't foresee much slippages going forward. The collections have been very robust. Upgradations are happening. So our net slippage for the year will still be between 14,000 to 15,000 crores.
Oh, that will be fantastic. This is, you are saying including Shree, sir, or excluding Shree?
Excluding Shree.
Excluding Shree. Okay.
Yeah.
That still will be a fantastic number, sir.
Yeah.
Now, sir, coming back to operating profit, of course, we saw a big jump in this quarter from 5,300 to 6,074 crores. How do you see the trend will be, sir, over the next 4-6 quarters? Do you think we will be able to maintain this rate of around 6,000 crore operating profit per quarter?
No, sir. We are given a guidance that our operating profit will stabilize around 5,000 crores per quarter till we see some good uptick in the credit growth, which we are likely to accrue maybe end of Q3 and Q4. Till then, our operating profit will stabilize around 5,000 crores. This time, actually, we had the advantage of Dewan Housing coming in. But then when we add 1,500 to the income, about 500 one-time provisions also we have taken above the line. That is particularly for the pension and the new pension scheme. So about 1,000 crores, you can say that it is contributed by the Dewan Housing to the operating profit as of now. So we can estimate that it will be around 5,000. But we will also see some divestment in subsidiaries in the coming quarters, which is at an advanced stage, which will be above this. And also some of the settlements which are likely to happen will add value. Otherwise, from the normal operations, our operating profit should stabilize around 5,000 crores for the next two quarters, 5,000 per quarter.
That is fantastic. My last question, sir, when do you think we'll be less than 2% net NPL, sir, by which year? You have any internal target or any aspiration to be by this time we should be less than 2% in net NPL?
Yeah, our estimate is by March 22, we should be close to 3.5. And 22-23, we should be close to the number what you are mentioning.
Oh, fantastic. That's very good. Thank you so much, sir. All the best. I must admit, I was mesmerized to meet your people. And I've been very, very positive that the public sector banks are doing a fantastic job. And all the very best. God bless. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good evening. And thanks for the opportunity. Sir, a couple of questions, sir. First, on restructuring. So you have given phase one and phase two, and then MSME number that you have also called out separately. But is there any other erstwhile restructuring that we were carrying? So what is the total stock of standard restructured number, sir, if you can help with that?
Good evening, Mundraji. This is all. Actually, these numbers, whatever we have disclosed, this is the restructured book. There is nothing else.
Right. And the outstanding provision would be closer to 10%, right, on all these numbers?
Yeah.
Understood, sir. And second thing, sir, is there, how do you account for this slippages out of restructuring? Is this still the 90 DPD, or there is some regulation wherein you may have to downgrade the restructured account even if, you know, they are below 90 DPD. Is there some conservative accounting there?
No, when it comes to retail and MSME, basically this restructuring is only elongation of repayment. There is no structuring of debt here actually. It is only simply giving them more time for repayment. That is the restructuring which has happened. So here the 90 DPD works. So what you are mentioning is some breach of covenants which can happen only in the corporate book. But we are not seeing that happening as of now on the corporate restructuring.
Understood.
There actually that the NPA possibility comes if there is a breach of covenant.
Right. And secondly, sir, you have given the SMA 2 number, which is CRILSI data. If you have the number handy for the entire bank, including below 5 crore ticket size also.
SMA 2, we have disclosed 5 crore and above, which is 0.8%. And all SMA 2, without any ceiling or floor, is around 2.3%.
That's correct.
Compared to last quarter, I think we have shared, it was around 3.6%.
SMA 2 book is 2.3 without any limits, but all accounts including.
Understood, sir. And the last thing, sir, it looks like we have added the 1H PAT in CET1. I just wanted to double check that.
Yes. Actually, last time also I shared this, that we are going to, like, you know, there is a deferred tax assets to the extent of 14,000 crores, which gets reduced from our equity and CET1 and book value. So we have taken a call that we will reverse it. So this last time we reversed about 500 plus crores. This time we have reversed about 823 crores. So this 823 crores actually, like, when we reverse, so that gets reduced from that deduction. So it gets added to the CET. In addition to that, about 400 odd crores of fraud provision, which was getting reduced from the equity, CET1 actually. So that we made full provision during this quarter and knocked it out. So these two put together adds about 1,250 crores to the CET1. That's why it is at that level.
Right. So just to understand this, sir, how does this work? That you have a stock of DTA above a certain threshold, it gets reduced from net worth. Right. And as you utilize that, the amount becomes successively lower. And hence capital gets released.
Actually, that gets debited to my profit actually, like when I reverse it. See, DTA, if you have to reduce, we have to make provision from profit actually. Because, you know, this is a bit complicated structure we create. This was created when we were making very huge provisions earlier. And we were incurring losses because our provisions were made more than our operating profits also. So that is a way of creating DTA. Now, since we are deciding that we have to move to the new tax regime in the 1 to 2 year time frame, so this actually DTA adjustment will entail a loss of about 5,000 crores is our rough estimate. So we decided that about 2,500 crores will knock out this year and about 2,500 next year. So by March 23, we'll be prepared to move to the new tax regime. So that is our strategy. And meanwhile, when I'm reducing these deferred tax assets, you are right, because beyond a point, it gets reduced from the net worth. So that actually comes down. The deduction part comes down. So this time it has come down by this 823 crores. Plus actually this fraud provision deferred also gets reduced from the net worth. So this quarter, since we had the cushion, so this 400 odd crores of fraud provision, we have made full provision. So this is returned back to net worth now, both the things. So about 1,260 crores gets added to the net worth.
Understood, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prabal Gandhi from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, am I audible?
Yes, yes, Mr. Gandhi. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Sir, so first question is on the NCL provision. So even if I reduce first pay and even if I reduce for the 4 billion that you mentioned, even then the credit cost provisions are quite high at 28, 29 billion. What is the reason there?
Yes, you would like to come in?
So there is a normal aging provision plus the provision for the NPS during the quarter.
Okay, and any estimate of how much aging provisions are left to be done for this year?
So maybe for the rest of the year, aging provision will be close to around 60 basis points.
60 basis point of the...
3,200 crores.
That is the aging provision.
That is 3,200 crores.
Roughly, so that this can vary a bit.
Yeah, yeah. And sir, on the Shrey, we made 15%, right, for this quarter?
Shrey, we made 65. We were 30, so we made another 35%.
Okay,
sir,
got it.
I think this is one of the reasons you see a higher provision, because this was a standard asset and we had kept 30% provision in that. Now this quarter it has slipped to NPA, and that 30% standard provision has also come here, and additional 35% also we have made. So 65% provision we have made in the NPA account. So that is the reason I think you are observing that number is high. Provision number is
correct.
High.
Earlier 30% was in standard asset provision.
Yeah, got it, sir. And sir, also you mentioned the 4 billion in the last participant question. That was also included in the provisioning line, right? The 4 billion that you mentioned, that you
that is the deferred provision on frauds. So that also came in this quarter. So we made the full provision of 400 odd crores. Yes. So that's why actually this credit card doesn't necessarily relate to the present slippage.
Got it. Sir, secondly, on the recovery and upgrade expectation for the second half.
Actually, the first half, we had given a projection of 13,000 crores of recovery upgradation for the full year. So we have covered about 10,000 crores in the first 6 months. So we have increased our target. So we are planning at least another 6,000 crores of recovery and upgradation in the next 6 months. So the recovery upgradation target for the full year is about 16,000.
And this also includes the upgrades and recoveries?
Yeah, it includes upgrades and recoveries, yeah.
And so on the NAR scale, how much will be transferred in the first phase?
NAR scale? Last time we made this, actually
8,000 crore we had.
Roughly 8,000 crores is marked. But then now the advantage is even the accounts which are declared as fraud also can be transferred. So we are identifying the next set of accounts also. So we think that this year we should be able to transfer about 12,000 crores.
Yes,
we should be able to transfer about 12,000.
This is in both the phases, phase 1 and phase 2, 12,000 crores.
Phase 1, phase 2 is already identified. So, I think, yes, phase 1 and phase 2. So, this will be the phase 3 before March. The fraud accounts and other accounts. They are yet to be, because they are processed, actually. We have processed the first lot, even the second lot.
Fraud accounts are not factored earlier because these guidelines have come subsequently. So that amount in our bank itself is around 12,000 crore. That is the thing MD sir is
done. So just last question on the MSME side, how much stress are you seeing now, and on the restructuring, MSME restructuring, how much do you expect to slip?
We are not seeing much slippage in MSMEs now. It is stabilizing and the collection efficiency also substantially has gone up. So, this quarter we saw slippage of 1,526 crores from the MSME book actually. It includes the slippage from the restructured book also. So, if you look at the restructured book of 5,000 crores of MSME, from the 1.0 and 2.0, about 10% has slipped from that book. From the resolution 1.0, resolution 2.0, roughly if you are taking it at 5,000 crores, about 10% has slipped from that book and which has gone to NPA now.
And any further expectation, how much can the incremental slippage can be from this?
Difficult to estimate. In MSME, we feel that the worst is over. The numbers are moderating. We are looking at the numbers presently. So the run rate should come down substantially because last quarter we saw 1,500 and maybe as we go forward, it will be substantially less than this for the next two quarters.
Thank you so much, sir, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Oja from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Very good evening. So my first question is that CPOP is on a good track. So just wanted to know if we are maintaining our guidance on, 12 to 13,000 crores of provisions for this year.
You are talking of the credit cost.
Yes, credit cost.
Actually, since the profitability is good, so we are trying, because we have a net NPA which is slightly higher than the peer bank. So our strategy is to reach a net NPA level of below 3% as early as possible. So we may do some aggressive provisioning on NPA accounts more than what is regulatory required, because we have a cushion on the operating profit now. And the aging provisions are coming down substantially. So this is not necessarily because of the regulatory requirement. It is because of our strategy to increase the provision on NPA and bring the net NPA down faster.
Okay, but are we maintaining within 12 to 13 for this whole year? Because we have already taken like around 3,500 and 3,700 for Q1 and Q2.
Yeah, that number we are likely to maintain. If there is a one-off income coming in the next two quarters, then we may increase our provision. Otherwise, this number should stand.
Okay. And my second question is that you have reversed around 1,400 crores of DTA for the H1, and you're saying you will be doing 2,500 for this year, correct? FY22?
Yes. Roughly, okay. Yeah.
So roughly around 1,100 crores more will be debited for the next two quarters, like for the H2, I'm saying. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. No problem. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Taluja from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Most of the questions have been answered. Just one data keeping. What is your DHFL recovery during the quarter, and if you can further give in terms what was the cash recovery and in terms of the bond recovery?
Yeah, can you give the number?
Yeah, total recovery was 1,650 crore. So in
okay.
that, 700 crore from the cash and the remaining 954 crore was from the bond.
Okay, sure. And sir, how do you see the trend in terms of the growth because our business growth has been muted? So any credit growth expectations where you see over the next in the next few quarters?
Yeah, actually, the RAM sector, we are okay. I think the growth will further pick up, particularly retail space, agriculture space, and to some extent MSME space. The problem is the corporate book, which is really pulling us down. The problem is basically if you are focusing on corporate credit at this point of time, particularly at the shorter end, because which is actually in the market, so you have to compromise on margins and the interest rates are really funnily low. That is a difficult market to operate because that will shrink our net interest margins and the interest income. We just hope that the Reserve Bank steps taken on variable repo and the term repos that they are doing, where the short term rates are stabilizing around 4%. So going forward, we will also participate in this market as the rates are firming up. So then maybe the credit growth will be back. And on the long term credit, we have a good pipeline, actually robust pipeline, but somehow the utilization levels are not there. See, we have line of credits of more than 30,000 crores not used. we have more than 20,000 crores of sanctions which are like at various stages of documentation which has to be dispersed. And we have a very robust pipeline now where in principle sanctions are given. So my expectation is that corporate credit by the end of the year for us also should touch about 6% growth rates. So accordingly we have revised our credit growth number to 6 to 8% range.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashok Ajmera from Ajcon Global Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity, though a little late. Sir, compliments to you, sir, for yet another set of good numbers. You have been performing very well in last 3-4 quarters especially. And basically, you know, the treasury and other side is the recovery. These two departments are doing fantastically well, according to me. Most of my questions have been answered, but still a few data points and some more information. So, sir, you said about this write-off, you know, the huge write-off and the recovery for reducing the NPA numbers of 10,714 crore. What was actually the thought suddenly in this quarter only? Because it is an exceptional number of write-off. So number one, how many number of accounts have been written off, and how many of them were more than 100 crores?
I think I may not have that much detail, but I'll tell you, if you observe us for the last few quarters, we are generally writing off about 4,000, 5,000 crores every quarter. That we do regularly because that's the only way to bring down the gross NPA below 10. Because that is the strategy that we should bring the gross NPA to single digits. So by way of recovery and all that, some certain things are happening. But then we need to write off where the accounts are fully provided. As a strategy, every bank does it. Why we moderate it is because when we write off, it goes out of your credit outstanding also because your credit growth gets affected. That's why banks are a bit conservative in writing off. But this quarter we thought because we were planning that this time it should come below 13%. So we took a call to write off a bigger amount. But then this happens not in very small accounts. This happens in large corporate exposures where we have full 100%. So maybe offline we'll share how many number of accounts and all that. Right now we may not.
No, it's okay. It's okay, sir. It's okay.
Yeah.
So, sir, when we are talking about the gross NPA, so now this NARCL will come very handy because the entire 12,000 crores will go off the gross NPA. Hello?
It may not because some are written off. So, about half, yes, it may reduce my gross NPA by another 1%.
Yeah, so that will be a major this thing in percentage and in absolute terms also. So, sir, this if the number of 12,000 as you are estimating for the entire year, you know, including now the fraud accounts also can be transferred. So, say roughly if about 20% maybe the valuation comes around that, so you will get accordingly 2,400 crores of total credit. Out of that, 15% at 360 crore will come in the real cash, which in any case will be an income. So this bond which will come, which is a guaranteed, government guaranteed bond, will that also be considered as a full income? If it is written off, then full income. Then if it is a provided for, then reduction in the provision. Is that correct? The entire 2,400 or 3,000 crore odd crore benefit we are going to get in next two quarters?
We are not very sure how RBI will look at it at this point of time. So, yes, cash part, there is no doubt it will be booked as income. But the bond part, whether we have to continue the full provision or not, there is not much clarity on that. We are permitted to write back the provision because it's a full government guaranteed. Yes, definitely. Yes. That will be above our estimates what we are giving now. But then I have my own doubts whether Reserve Bank will permit it actually. They may advise us to continue the provision. So we don't know at this point of time if the question is not answered by the regulator as of now.
So sir, what treatment has been given to that Piramal bond of 10 years, which is a private bond, which you must have taken in the security? So you have taken the market price of 79 rupees and then provided 21 rupees in that bond? Or what treatment actually has been given to the THFL recovery, the portion of the bond from the Piramal, sir?
So why? Because the Piramal is a double A rated bond issued. It is a fresh bond, nothing to do with the DHFL. It is issued by Piramal and the full value is counted. Why there is a discount on that?
No, sir, because the valuation was...
It's like any other bond. Today, if I take a bond of any other business group,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
which is double A rated, I take it at the face value.
I'm not sure, sir. I think face value, you will have to take the either the market value or the whatever the haircut is to be given.
Why haircut? It's a double A rated account.
It's a new issuance of the bond.
It's a new issuance of bond.
There are two things, one is the preference we have to take, and second is the change of management is here. So it is not a DHFL bond. So both the factors put together, the entire provision has to be taken back. It's a write back will be there.
All right, sir. Sir, my just last question is that in the SMA 2, less than 5 crore, there is a large number of accounts and the amount is also large. So, sir, have you formed any kind of strategy of reaching those? Because I believe that many of them must be the small small borrower for SMA 2 below 5 crore. So, what kind of strategy you have adopted and have it implemented and what kind of results it is giving? Because so as to have, we have some idea of the, you know, about the future of the SMA 2 below 5 crore.
Okay, actually, I don't know which chart you are referring to. SMA 2, above 5 crores is only 0.79. It is a very small amount.
I'm talking about below 5 crores, sir.
So below 5 crores, naturally, a lot of these SME and retail accounts will be there. So we have a good strategy. Actually, we have a call center and FOS system. Actually, basically, we have devised, like we can explain you, but then we have devised a very good system of follow-up. And the recoveries are almost like the collection efficiency has reached almost 96% levels now. So we don't expect that this will slip. So we have a very good collection mechanism. So, and the amount is quite small. Actually, it is not that big, but number of accounts are huge, spread over various places. But we have very good mechanism of follow-up and other thing, including our branches, plus call centers, plus some outsourced agency also for calling on the customer.
Thank you. The next question. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. For any follow-up, may we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Most of my questions have been answered. Just one thing wanted to understand. When you say that in the first half, our recovery and upgradation is almost 14,000 crore, I assume you are including the write-offs also, the actual recovery or upgradation of the...
No, we said it is 10,000. The recovery and upgradation is 10,000 in the first half. About 8,000 crores of actual cash recoveries plus upgradation, 2,000 crores of recovery in write-off accounts. That is the 10,000 crores of recovery in the first half. Write-off is not included in that.
Okay, so recovery and upgradation is around 10,000 crore and write-offs of around 15,000 crore.
Write-off, yes, in the first half about 15,000.
Okay, now my second question is regarding this NARCL. So obviously, see, most of these accounts are already, written off and are NPA from many years. So how things will change once it is moved to NARCL? Why, it's not been recovered, amounts are not recovered in the books of the banks. Then what will change once it is moved to NARCL?
Actually, you should look
how the recovery will change.
Yeah, yeah. I know it's a limited point you are mentioning, but I should give a brief background. Actually, see, why we thought of NARCL as an institution? Because actually, when we were resolving these big accounts, many accounts we saw that there is a potential of higher value, but through this process of liquidation or NCLT, we are not able to get the value which actually otherwise these assets deserved. So our simple process of legal process of NCLT is not maximizing the value. So we thought there should be alternate mechanism to like get a better value. That's why we thought of NARCL. And the main advantage of NARCL is a debt aggregation. Today, one of the problems we face is there is a multiple creditor system, and taking a decision, it becomes very difficult. In NARCL, debt is going to get aggregated at one level, and there is a one decision-making authority which can take any call on a resolution of an asset. Another thing, we are enabling NARCL with a resolution company, what we call IDR, debt resolution company, which is going to have people from the private sector. And we are enabling them with incentives so that they can go to the market and do the value maximization for the assets. Because what we see, whatever we could resolve in large assets, we have done. The remaining accounts are slightly complicated and they have to be dealt differently. Otherwise, through this NCLT process, they will get into liquidation and we'll get only scrap value. We have seen some of the companies where our debt is 10,000 crores going at a scrap value of 500-600 crores. That should not happen. So that is why this is created. We should understand the purpose behind this. Yes, short-term gains is something which we look at, but then this has got a much long-term play.
Okay, got it, sir. And just one last question. Last quarter we have this one-off like Shreya Infra. Is there any big account where you see that, may slip into NPA over next 6 months?
Hopefully, no.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we take that as the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you for participating in this conference. So we have initiated a lot of digital initiatives because some of the questions which are coming on the recovery side and all that. So particularly we are into an era of operational excellence. We have started a lot of digital projects. We are investing heavily on this, and it will result in a lot of improvement technology, elimination of redundancies, and also on improving the compliance. So, and also the amalgamation is complete now. We are seeing the synergy benefits accruing actually, and as we go along, we will see these operational efficiencies and synergy benefits adding to the bottom line of the bank. And I will conclude with the guidance for the year. We feel for the deposit and advances growth will be in the range of 6 to 8% by the end of the year. The CASA ratio for the bank should be settling around 36 to 37% during this year. The net interest margin, we are maintaining the guidance of 2.9 to 3%. The credit cost to be around 2%. Delinquency ratio on net basis, as I already explained, should be around 2.5%. With this, I conclude my remarks. I am very grateful to the analyst community and investor fraternity for their support and feedback that helps us take informed decision in our journey towards efficiency and profitability. Thank you so much. And very happy Diwali to everyone.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Union Bank of India, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.